A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome. It is Matt Slick Live, and I am your host, Matt Slick. If you want to give me a call, we have five open lines, 877-207-2276. Boy, I'll tell you, I've been up early and just on the go, constantly just on the go. So, one of those days, you know, my life is getting busier and busier. I remember when I was younger, I wasn't nearly as this busy, and I was thinking, what would happen if I were to retire? How would that work out if I were to actually retire? I don't think I could ever retire. I don't think I could retire because I'm too busy, got too much to do to retire. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I'll be doing this for years to come. Lord willing, I'll be doing it until I can't do it anymore, and God retires me. Nevertheless, hey, look, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. And if you're a newbie to the show, we talk about all kinds of stuff, from anywhere from politics to theology, UFOs, the occult. We get into everything. I love studying everything, and that's what we do. So I do Patreon, and at patreon.com, and that's where you can sign up and you can support the effort that I do here on CARM. And it really does help me a lot to be able to pay the bills and things like that. If you guys are interested, check it out, patreon.com, just look / Matt Slick. This morning I did a Patreon thing. It'll be released in a couple hours. And I did it on just catching up on what's happening with CARM, but also with BLM, Black Lives Matter. I've been doing a lot of research on Black Lives Matter recently, and I've written an article. And I cannot recommend BLM. I don't see how any Christian could. It is socialist, pro-homosexual, pro-lesbianism, Marxist stuff, supports the Breathe Act. Oh, man. The Breathe Act is just Marxist, communist stuff. And it works against the nuclear family. There's just no way that I could ever support it. I do support the idea, though, of all races being equal. I do support the idea of getting rid of racism. No problem. But I just can't lend my approval to a movement like that, which is so full of underlying, ungodly, antichrist issues. Just not acceptable. And that's that. So I've been writing about that. And I think I'm going to turn my attention a little bit towards Antifa. And I don't have much time. I literally working 10, 12-hour days, 6 days a week. And so I'm probably going to slip in some Antifa research. To my opinion, what it is a domestic terrorist organization. And so it's bad. And we'll see, because they work with the Antifa BLM people are kind of mixing the crowds. I'm not saying one supports the other, but they're there. They certainly, anyway, I'll leave it at that. So my wife sent me a really good meme today. And, I'm going to show it on my phone on the video. It really is a good meme. And I loved it because what it says is, gathering to read Bibles has a picture. Gathering to read Bibles, not permitted. It's a nice church picture. Gathering to read Bibles, not permitted. Gathering to burn Bibles, permitted. And it's a great meme, one of the best ones I've ever seen, because in Portland they're gathered and they're burning Bibles, and that's okay. And the they've got to wear masks, so you can't be in church, and you can't be within 6 feet of each other, so you can't sing in church, you can't meet in church in California, the People's Republic of California. And but they can, in Portland, for example, it's okay to meet in large groups and without masks, as long as you're rioting, that's okay, and you can burn Bibles, that's okay. What's wrong with this picture? So many things. why is it our politicians just, you know, they're zombies. Most of our politicians are just zombies. If you see them on TV, the way to check a zombie is to see how they walk, see if they stumble, and see if they kind of get confused by when they're looking at you and talking. And the reason I say that is because zombies don't have any frontal lobe functioning, and obviously a lot of the leftists don't have frontal lobe functioning stuff either, so I have a theory that they might be zombies. I don't know, live different, a new kind of zombie, I don't know. So a leftist zombie. I don't know. You can wonder about these things, because how could anybody possibly say, no, we got to shut churches down because you might get close to each other, and we'll punish the people who are godly, who keep the law. And what we'll do is let the people who are rioting, breaking laws, hurting people, damaging, stealing, we'll let them do it. What is wrong? Obviously, the frontal lobes aren't functioning. So hence, they're zombies. Oh, man. You know, so much heresy, so little time. If you want to give me a call, three open lines, 877-207-2276. Goron, from one of the clans of the Klingons, I think, from Florida. What do you got, buddy? What's up, man?
Thank you for taking my call, Brother Matt.
Sure.
Quick question.
Uh-huh.
Biblically, when was the church birthed, the first church?
Define church.
An assembly. So that's the
an
problem.
Assembly? Well, wait a minute.
Hold on.
If there's an assembly, then the church was in the Old Testament, because there was assemblies of believers then. If you say the called out ones, what that is the elect, the people who are regenerate. When did that begin? The calling began before the foundation of the world. The manifestation of that calling would have arrived at during the Old Testament time as well. Now, if you mean church as in a New Testament organization with pastors and elders, then that probably would have begun right around Pentecost time. A little bit afterwards. Okay?
Brother Matt, that's why I always thought about, why does Matthew Henry, the commentator, say that the church is in the Old Testament? Now that makes sense, what you just said. So the New Testament church, you're saying, was birthed at Pentecost.
In the sense that the word church, which is ecclesia, the word ecclesia occurs in different contexts, means different things, but in the sense of the church being defined as having pastors and elders and things like that, then roughly at Pentecost, a little bit afterwards, probably, you know, with a week or two or three, a month or two, three, four, five, I don't know, year, you know. So it just depends. It depends on how you define the terms. Okay?
Awesome.
Yeah, always define terms. I tell people that. Define your terms, and then you can answer questions. So let's see. I did a church table, or the church grid. I did an analysis on every occurrence of the word church in the New Testament, and it occurs 115 times. Now, I have this worked out in 5 different categories, and so when I give the percentages can add up greater than 100%, because you can have different categories that the same word can appear in. It could be an ecclesiastical body. It can also mean the body of Christ. For example, I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. Does that mean the ecclesiastical body, or does it mean the body of Christ who are believers? So
the body of Christ.
It could be. We can't say that's only what it means. So what I did was I said, well, it could go in both. You know, just trying to be fair. And so that's why my percentages can be above 100. So the body of Christ, 41 times, or 36%. Gathering of people, 3 possible occurrences, or 3%. Local churches, an ecclesiastical body like a local church, 72 occurrences, or maybe 63%. The people of God as a whole, 12 occurrences, 11%. An ecclesiastical body, 23 occurrences, maybe 20%. Now, I'm not saying my analysis is absolutely perfect, but at least I've gone in there and done that. And I said, here's how it seems to be. And so, there you go. You know, you could check it out. That's why it adds up to 133%. Okay?
that was helpful because I didn't even think about defining terms. So that's good that you stirred that in me. I need to.
Here's the rule. Here's the three-part rule. Three rules. First, define your terms. Second, use those terms in sentences. Third, use logic and scripture to validate or invalidate the statements. Simple. Define, use, and then examine with scripture and logic. I say logic too because you need to have logic when you're doing these things, but you got to use scripture. Okay? Three parts. All right.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Matt. Appreciate it, sir.
Okay.
God bless.
Okay, man. God bless, buddy. All right. Hey. Hey, folks, that was Goron, one of the Klingon heads, I think, or the whatever. And if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And we have four open lines now. We're going to get to the next caller. We're going to talk about BLM before we do that. I know that there's a lot of people who are automatically approving of BLM. If you are a Christian, you have the responsibility, go to their website and check out what they believe and then ask, can you support them? That's what you're obligated to do. You need to do your own homework. Don't just trust some guy on the radio named Slick. Okay, four open lines, 877-207-2276. Ryan from Pennsylvania, you are on the air.
Hi, Matt. Thank you very much. I appreciate you inviting me to call back anytime. And
okay.
I read your article about BLM, and I'm kind of confused. How are they Marxist?
She has Marxist organizational ties, or Marxist ties. She is that. Now, the thing is, I'm glad you brought that up, because when I did my research, the BLM organization itself is not Marxist. And people are telling me, Matt, you have to write that it's Marxist. And I say, no, it's not. Officially, it's no, it's not. But the founder is a Marxist. One of the founders. There's three founders. And she definitely is. And then they have, let's just say, that by connection, when they go to the Breathe Act, which she supports too, then that's a Marxist-leaning document. So, that's why sometimes I'll slip and say it's Marxist. But it's not. So I try to be fair in the article and say, and maybe I'll even go modify it because I've been modifying it each day, and say it officially is not a Marxist organization, but it has the founders who lean towards Marxism. So you make your own conclusion.
Well, there's a problem with that. I'm sure you're familiar with the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament and Gerhard Kittel, who started it. And Gerhard Kittel was a straight-up, full-threaded Nazi, and we certainly don't think the TDNT is a Nazi document. So there has to be a division between that. So.
Right. And this has the potential of expanding into other articles with BLM. And then I did a video this morning, and it'll be released in a couple hours on my Patreon account. And I talked about the issue called the genetic fallacy. And the genetic fallacy is something I didn't put in the article, but I'm talking about on the air and in the video I did, because you don't want to say, well, the guy who was a bank robber, a murderer, he taught me trigonometry, so therefore trigonometry is false. That's called the genetic fallacy. And you can't say that BLM is false because its founder is a Marxist. You have to look at other things, but hold on, we've got a break coming up. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Ryan, you're back on the air.
Well, thank you very much for letting me stay on during the break. Thank you for clarifying the difference between their founders being Marxist and the movement itself. That's a legitimate distinction.
Actually, let me interrupt you really fast. During the break, I actually updated the article, the first paragraph, so you can check it out.
Yeah, thank you for doing that. That shows a great deal of love, integrity on your part. I appreciate that. To me, the greatest threat to our Democratic Republic today is Donald Trump, and the Christians that are following him like a cult.
Why is he the greatest threat?
Because he has attacked every part of our government. He's attacked every part of our Constitution. He has violated at least 8 of the 10 commandments, and Christians are following him like Mormons and Scientologists follow their beliefs. And he has been in constant violation of the Constitution since he took the oath of office. He has continually pursued his own interest over the nation's interest. He's had conflicts of interest. He's committed crimes. He's invited foreign influence into our nation on live TV.
Let me ask you.
He has done this.
Do you have documentation for these?
Yeah, it's video documentation all the way through. He's done it on TV. He even
well, if you
on
could,
TV, he
if
said
you
he
could,
wanted to hang on. He has done on live TV. He said he wanted to take guns away without due process. So much for the Second Amendment.
Well, I'd like to see the context of those things. But, you know, if you have documentation for that, I'm always open for documentation. When I was at a BLM rally up here in Boise, someone said something similar to about Trump. He's this, he's that. I said, do you have documentation? And they walked away.
Yes, I've got it on.
Okay, yeah, send it to me. Email it to me.
It's straightforward on video.
Okay, yeah, email it to me.
And like you say, his reelection is a very, very dangerous thing.
Because, what do you think about Biden?
This man is a... Biden? I would... quite frankly, I would vote for Satan before I would vote for Trump. And I would vote for anything and anyone with a pulse before I would vote for Trump.
Okay, how about, what do you think of Biden, though?
Biden? I think Biden has been around for a long time, and he is manifold better than Trump.
Okay.
And I will vote for Biden, and I will vote for every Democrat, because the Republican Party is upholding a man who has absolutely... If Trump gets reelected, our Democratic Republic will be over. He will get away with his crimes, and the Republican Party is helping him.
Well, I don't agree with you, but I was curious because I want to see documentation of this kind of stuff. So
I will send you loads of it. I sent you some documentation about his depravity and his decadence and his crimes. You never said anything about that. But
well,
I'll be glad to send you loads.
Yes,
yeah,
send me the send me the documentation. Yeah, I need to see
I'll
stuff.
I'll send you the videos where he says these things straightforwardly. And,
okay. Hold on. If it's a video that just says one sentence and it goes to the next video, I can't accept that. I have to always see context of everything. So if you got that, great. Send it. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Okay. Wow. I've been thinking about this. People get on, and if you don't like Trump, okay, you know, say it. And if you don't like Biden, say it. And see, what he did, and I cut others off for doing that, but what he did was, he wasn't vociferous. I know this guy well enough to know he's probably got documentation, so I want to see this kind of stuff. At any rate, let's get to, we got so much going on here. Let's get to Larry from North Carolina. Larry, welcome. You are on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Matt. My question has to do with military service and militia service.
Military
if
service?
If a Christian can join the military and serve honorably, defend the Constitution and the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, then would you see any issues with them also joining a militia to do the same, protect the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic? Do you see any dividing line there? Do you see any problems with that for a Christian?
Personally, no.
Okay. I like to refer back to the book of Nehemiah, where Nehemiah is building the wall, and basically they have a wall-building tool in one hand and a weapon in the other, defending their cause. And I don't know if that's a leap for a militiaman, but our country's been torn down to the point where it needs rebuilding, and in order to get it done, we may have to take up arms. That's my opinion.
That's historically speaking, you never get a country back little by little. It's always through, unfortunately, it's always through violence. Countries decay historically, little by little by little. The liberals get in. And I was mentioning yesterday, people need to study the rise and fall of the Roman Empire because the parallels with America are just incredible. And one of the things that happened is homosexuality became normative, pedophilia did, and also these people in power started passing laws that they themselves were exempt from. Morality was lax. And so, you know, these are some of the things that went on. And then the Roman Empire fell. And then they basically, as things were getting worse, they started blaming the Christians. They got to have someone to blame. So they started blaming Christians or killing Christians. I'm worried about the same thing happening here. I don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, the idea of fighting. I understand that during the Revolutionary War, there were ministers who would preach a sermon on Sunday morning, and then when they're done, they would take off their collar, and they would go pick up their muskets and go out and resist the enemy. Is that right? Is it wrong? I don't know. But
that's true. That is true.
Yep. And the preamble...
And it is right.
Well, you know, that's... I'll just say that is your opinion. I'm not saying it is right or isn't right, but I do know that the preamble of the Constitution does say we have an obligation to throw off an oppressive government. I believe it's a preamble that says that. And so, what do we do? Because in November, we've got some issues. I talk about this a lot with my friends. November, if Trump gets elected, people are going to hate it. If Biden gets in, people are going to hate it. And what are we going to do? There are people with guns on both sides ready to shoot at each other. And the reason this is the case is because everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes. They don't have their eyes on God. They have their eyes on something else. And the left, the far left, doesn't have any moral compass. Its agenda, it's leftism. The Christian church on the right hasn't been doing its job. It's been too narcissistic, thumb-sucking, and, you know, give me, comfort me. And so we've not been out there doing what we've got to do in our culture and our country for decades. And so now we're reaping the whirlwind because of it. So what are we going to do when the time comes? You know, I don't know. But I think Christians need to prepare. As the ant prepares the food during the summer for the winter, we need to prepare for, you know, some lean times that may possibly come. Because if violence does ensue all over the place, then supply chains will be lessened. And with that will come hoarding. And with that, there's going to be problems. So the writing's on the wall, and we got to be careful. So, you know, you want to hold?
Okay, if I could just speak briefly.
Sure,
speak
hold on, we got a break. We got a break, though. Hold on. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Normally, I answer Bible questions, but this is what happened. People talk about what's on their mind and their heart, so that's what we're doing today. If you want to give me a call, three open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. It's a different kind of a show today. If you want to give me a call, three open lines, 877-207-2276. Larry, you still there?
I am, and thanks for letting me hold over. Just wanted to briefly comment on the previous caller who was... totally against the Republican Party and Trump, and yet he's willing to vote straight Democratic. And I'm just curious, did he not know that they are pro-choice and will, you know, even go for
pro-abortion? I don't say pro-choice. I don't use their word. They're pro-abortion.
Yeah.
And the Democratic Party also is
pro-abortion.
Yeah, and the Democratic Party also is the party defending the KKK and slavery in the 1900s.
Yes.
People don't know that.
Yeah, that was my only comment. Right.
Yeah, yeah, and then they'll destroy statues of people from 1800s, and yet they'll vote Democrat because it's just it's like are you thinking? You know, hello, where's your consistency? Anyway,
right.
Yeah, I know.
All right, Matt. Thank you. Thanks for your service.
All right. Okay. God bless, buddy. All right.
Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
You too. Yeah, there's a lot of people like him out there. A lot of people. Folks, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, yes, we actually talk about the Bible here. 877-207-2276. Mark from North Carolina. Mark, welcome. You're on the air.
How's it going?
It's going, man. What do you got, buddy?
All right. I just wanted to show my concern for the country, or nation of Nigeria. There seems to be there's basically a genocide over there. Trump needs to send. I've been in all prayer and supplication. He could take care of it by morning time. He needs to go over there. They're slaughtering Christians over there. He needs to do what's right.
Why don't you write him? And call
it takes so long to get the mail. You know, I you hear that pastor.
Yeah, but you see, I don't think Trump listens to my radio show. It might be out there. I think it's in the D.C. area, but which I'd love to talk to him, but get him to stop following Paula White, I think is her name. But you know what? Call up Hannity. Call up Fox News and say, "This is what's going on. Can you make a mention of it?" Because I don't know anything about this. I know that Nigeria.
You know
has
that
a huge...
that pastor. Excuse me.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That pastor.
Right.
I think Don Wilton. You know, you'll hear him brag like Trump listens to me or Trump follows me. You know, you hear him brag that every now. So I called his little prayer line or something. You know, something directly, and I said, you know, can you get in touch with him? I need you. That's kind of like, you say he knows you, you say he follows you, then you can probably call him, get a message to him. This needs to be taken care of now. This is like a Hitler-esque type.
Really? Do you have any, I always do this. Do you have any documentation for this? I've not heard of it.
No,
maybe the news is suppressing it.
I've heard on the world news. They do.
Can you email?
And I heard on the...
Can you email me documentation? Because it is important. I'm not being dismissive. I want to know that this is the case. But I got to know.
I think they said like 12,000 or something, or maybe it was 24,000. It was ridiculous, the amount, the number. And I just thought,
by the Muslims,
my heart
broke. The Muslims,
I actually cried. I don't want to say that.
Okay, I'll tell you what. What we need is documentation. And so when people call up, that's fine. You know, if something like this is happening, then we need to know as Christians, and we need to be praying about it at the very least, and do what we can to help people. Good, get on our knees, and not just pray, but we need to, you know, see what we can do. But it has to be established that it is happening. And so I'd like to see the documentation, because if it is happening, I will mention it on the radio. Folks, this is what needs to happen. And we need to be
praying. I think I heard it on the Truth Network. I heard it on the Truth Network, the news.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll blip in.
Okay. I've not heard it.
It's concerned me.
It should concern all of us.
It's like Hitler.
Well, I don't know. I'm looking at Nigeria genocide right now on the web, and
genocide of Christians.
Is genocide happening in Nigeria as the world turns a blind eye? Look, there it is. Yeah. So there's some stuff.
I'm concerned, man.
Good.
I'm scared with fear and trembling, just like it says, you know. With fear and trembling, but that's for my own salvation. Yes, I've been through that, but
That's where Boko Haram. That's where Boko Haram.
Right, exactly. I didn't want to mention the names, but when you said that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I just didn't want to mention. I didn't know that, but I don't want to.
Yeah, I'm looking at stuff as we're talking, and it looks like there's something going on over there. Why isn't the news talking about this? Yeah, this is not good.
Trump has got to, somebody's got to get over there, man. But yeah, like you said, Hannity maybe.
Well, let's pray. Let's pray that.
I prayed that I prayed that he's got fighters in the air or suiting up. I said, bro, please. I pray last night. Take care of this before the sun comes up.
But we can't. I mean, if I were the president, I'd be saying, "What can we do about this? If whatever's able to be done, let's see if we could do something. Is it possible to just send fighter jets over without Nigeria's permission and start attacking people? You can't do that. So it has to be done properly through proper channels. It might be. Well, okay, it might be that Trump's already working on something like this. I don't know. But the thing is, we definitely got to pray and look for, you know, you look for avenues to be able to communicate this to the right people. You start, you know, this is a meager radio show that, you know, that I have here. There's not that many. It's, you know, we're on less than 20 stations, I think, that for me. And I'd like to be on hundreds, but I'm not. And so,
should be.
Well, you know, we need more money. We need more funding. We need more support. We can't do it. We don't have the funding coming in.
Try to help you out on that as much as possible this time. I appreciate you. I listen to you. I support you.
Thank you.
I really enjoy your show. But I just thought I'd mention that so that more people out there would hear it. But like you say, try to get in touch with Hannity, maybe.
Yeah, and also, I happen to know that in Nigeria, one of the largest churches there is just an abusive, charismatic, name it and claim it, prosperity gospel church is abusing the people. So there's a lot
that's
of stuff.
Not even a church.
That's another thing going on. Yeah. But I appreciate that.
That's not church.
Yeah.
Man, thanks so much. I really appreciate it, Matt.
All right, man. Well, God bless, buddy.
Have a great one.
You too.
God bless.
All right. Wow. All right, four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Tom from California. Tom, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks, Matt. Change up the topics a little bit. Hey, I recently stopped attending a Lutheran church, among other things, but primarily over the doctrine and their dogma of universal objective justification. I was curious if you actually knew about that, ever studied it, and then what your thoughts are if you do know about it.
No, I don't know. Universal objective justification?
Yes.
We're going to have a break here in a minute, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at it, okay?
Okay.
And I can bone up on it really quickly. And
all right.
I'll check it up. So which denomination of Lutheranism is doing this?
Actually, there's three primary Lutheran synods and bodies, and they all teach some form of universal justification. And the proof text is that they primarily use it, Romans 5, 18, and 19. And
they don't understand it.
5.
Yeah, I can tell you they don't understand Romans 5, 18.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, it's quoting a bad translation on this one article I'm looking at. Yeah. So they're saying that everybody is objectively justified? And
correct, whether you believe it or whether you don't, and they also
then how do you go to hell
with that statement. So that's the problem. So I had talked to a young pastor who, you know, in the church I was attending, and you know, his statement to me was that he said that everyone who's ever lived, who is living, whoever will live, has been objectively justified, meaning that they have received Christ's imputed righteousness, which creates a little bit of a conundrum when you begin to deal with hell and
Yeah, he's wrong. Okay, so now I understand what it is, and I understand why they're doing that. They're doing it out of Romans 5:18, which I know that verse very well in its context. I've taught on it many times, hundreds of times. And also, it'll parallel with 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Adam all die, in Christ all shall be made alive. The problem is with the Lutheran base. I went to a Lutheran college, and I'll tell you what the problem is, and we'll tackle more of this after the break, okay? Hey folks, give me a call, 4 open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. We have, let's see, about 12, 15 minutes left. If you want to give me a call, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Tom, are you still there?
I am, yep.
Okay, so I went and looked at it during the break. And I went to a Lutheran college, incidentally, and I had the privilege of sitting under a very good teacher, Rod Rosenblatt. I got to know him pretty well, and I learned a great deal of theology there. Then I went to seminary, and I've had to wrestle with theological issues well before college and seminary, and obviously after. So Romans 5:18, incidentally, is a verse that I've gone through and taught specifically on this one verse many times over the years. And I understand its relationship with the word all, justification, and the doctrine of federal headship. And so as I went through and looked at the Lutheran objective justification issue and how they related to subjective justification, their position weakens the true nature of the atonement. Okay, first of all, it weakens it because Jesus Christ canceled the sin debt at the cross, Colossians 2:14. You cannot be held responsible for a sin debt that's canceled at the cross, period, if he canceled it. When people say Jesus paid for your sins, I ask the question, if he paid for your sins, does the sin debt exist anymore? Because if it's paid for, it can't exist anymore. There is no sin. It's paid for. It's done. If you have a debt, if I have a debt to you and I pay my debt to you, you know, monetarily speaking, the debt doesn't exist anymore. You cannot hold me accountable for it. And
so, Matt, let me ask you a question about
yes?
that. So what sends a person to hell? Is it unbelief
God.
Or is it sin?
God sends them to hell.
Uh-huh. Okay.
God's the judge. The action of sending. So if I send my daughter to the store, could you please go to the store and get some bananas? Who sent her? I did. When people say who sends people to hell, it's God who does that. People don't send themselves.
So if I may rephrase the question, what sin condemns a person to hell? Is the question.
Any sin.
God, okay, yep.
Yeah.
But if the sin debt was canceled at the cross, what's the legal aperture that attaches to a sinner if the debt has been paid?
The legal aperture that has to attach later is faith, which God grants, Philippians 1:29, so that then we can have the imputed righteousness of Christ given to us, Philippians 3:9, with justifications by faith, Romans 3:28, Romans 4:5, Romans 5:1.
Right.
So this is a topic I have gone through so many times, so many different ways. The Lutheran Church fails in its understanding of this because it fails to do its homework on Romans 5:18, the issue of federal headship as it relates to the word all. So if you go to, for example, in John 6:37, Jesus says something that's very important that is very often overlooked. He says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me."
Mm.
It's a very significant verse because it does not say, "All that come to me, the Father will give to me." It does not say, "All that the Father looks into the future to see who'll trust in Jesus, the Father will give those to me." It does not say anything like that. It says, "All that the Father gives me, they will come to me." There's a group called the all given by the Father to the Son. That's
right.
What's going on. Romans 5:18 is a very interesting verse, and the correct translation is in the NASB, and the other Bibles they don't do it right. And I'll explain why. We've got nobody waiting, and I'll explain why, if you're interested, why this is so significant.
Yes, definitely, please.
All right, so there's two sentences in Romans 5:18, joined by a conjunction. You know, so as, the conjunction. The funny thing about Romans 5:18 is it does not have any verbs in a sentence. Now, you can do that in Greek. We often do it in English. But here, what we have is two sentences, A and B. Sentence A and sentence B, but it's joined by a conjunction, so therefore it's a compound sentence. So what we have in sentence A is, through one transgression, condemnation to all men. That's the literal Greek into English. Through one transgression, condemnation to all men. And then it says the conjunction is, so also, through one act of righteousness, justification of life to all men. So I'll say it again. Through one act of righteousness, justification of life to all men. Both the sentences speak of two men. I mean, both the one verse speaks of two men, Adam and Jesus. Through one transgression, sin entered, condemnation to all men. Through one transgression, that's Adam's sin. So also, through one act of righteousness, that's Jesus' sacrifice, justification of life to all men. So what we see in sentence A and sentence B is a parallel. The action of one man, not men, one particular individual, had a specific result. This is why the NASB has in sentence A, it puts the word result, because sentence B says in like manner, or so also, as it is in sentence A. So if you put a verb in sentence A, you have to put the same verb in sentence B, because sentence B is taking its lead off of sentence A. So when it says, through one transgression, condemnation to all men, what's the verb that has to go in there? Because we have to look at theologically and say, we know that the sin of Adam resulted in condemnation to everybody. It doesn't bring it. No. You're born in sin. You're by nature a child of wrath, Ephesians 2:3. We're dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2:1. By nature we're slaves to sin, Romans 6:14 through 20. You know, the natural man cannot receive the things of God, for the foolishness to him, 1 Corinthians 2:14. So we know that the result of Adam's sin was we fell in him. We fell in him. That's what it is, okay? Sin entered the world through one man. So the right theological verb to put in there is result. But if you put result there, you've got to put result down in sentence B. So then it would be, there resulted justification of life to all men. Through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. But what happens is, what they're doing is, people are looking at verse 18, and they're looking at the second part. And they say, well, that means justification, which is salvation, to all men. We can't have that. So then what they do, this is where the Lutherans are making their mistake, and a lot of people do, they're looking at sentence B and letting sentence B govern sentence A. So instead of letting A govern B, B governs A. That's why the ESV says one trespass led to condemnation. They softened it. Because then you could say it led to justification of life. And so the King James will say, it just butchers it. King James says, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the one righteous deed, the free gift came. The free gift is not there. Judgment came is not there. The King James even goes worse. All right? And
well, the Wisconsin Synod has recently published their own Bible. I think it's called the Evangelical Heritage Bible, which bolsters their position on universal and subjective justification. So it's kind of a sad deal.
Well, it's because they have a faulty theological understanding of federal headship. Federal headship is a teaching that the male represents a descendants. And so Adam represented all people, but Jesus only represented his people, the ones given to him by the Father. There is no other way to make sense of all of this. Now, here's the thing. You know, I've done this so many times for decades, back and forth. I've had people give me objections in all kinds of different flavors and directions, and the only way, this is my opinion, the only way I can make sense of all the things that are related to it is to say that God the Father elected and gave certain ones to the Son for the redemptive work. That's John 6, 37 through 40. And that as the transgression of Adam resulted in condemnation to all men, that all means everybody, so through the one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men, that all can only be a limited group. The word all doesn't mean, you know, universal in every sense and every context. I've done a study in the word all, and it doesn't mean that. And this, not only that, let me show you this. This is 2 Corinthians 5:14. I'm going to read to you, but there's a concept in here. We know from the scriptures that the Bible teaches that only the believers have died to sin. Only believers have died with Christ. This is Romans 6:6, Romans 6:8. We've died with Christ, we're crucified with Christ, respectively. Only the believers. We never say in the scriptures, it never says any place, that unbelievers died with Jesus, and died to sin, and died to themselves. No, it's not true. So when we read this verse, for the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. Who's the all who died? It cannot be that the all who died is every person who's ever lived. Because not all have died to sin. Not all have died with Christ. It's only the believer, only the elected believer, only. That's why it says he died for all, therefore all died. Paul the Apostle is saying that all is the group given to him by the Father. It's the only way to make sense of it. Right. And then once you adopt this, everything falls into place. But if you don't, then you're stuck with Lutheranism and their whacked idea of objective justification.
It is whacked.
It is whacked. And I have a bachelor's degree from a Lutheran. What's that?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I have a bachelor's degree from a Lutheran college, and I took all theology courses to get my hands on and sat under Rod Rosenblatt, a great teacher. Seriously, he taught me a great deal. But I do not agree with Lutheranism in this area at all. So Jesus isn't going to
be. No, it's the Wisconsin Synod primarily. It's
Synod also. They're uppity.
The other. Mm-hmm.
The Wisconsin Synod people.
They recently doubled down.
Well, when I went to the LCMS College, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, there were Wisconsin Synod people there who said I wasn't saved because I wasn't in the Wisconsin Synod. I'm like, really? Yeah. If I remember correctly. Oh, yeah. It's like, really? So my trust and faith in Christ isn't enough? No. Okay. Thank you very much. You know. I've got a lot of stories I could tell. I got so many stories I could tell about stuff. Oh, yeah, yeah.
I came across this dogma, like, it was rather shocking and unsettling. So I just got in the Word and began to study it. The conclusion that I came to is it's a false doctrine. And I think many people are being led away to believe something that is not true.
It doesn't make any sense. Their view does not make any sense at all. It just doesn't make sense. It's because they fail to do the homework on the word all and how God uses the term in relationship to the people that he redeems. This is a concept I teach at Bible studies. What does the word mean in its context? Look at how God uses it. See if there's a pattern. Like the word know, gnosko in Greek, to know, K-N-O-W. God only knows believers. He never says he knows an unbeliever. This is a simple phrase. Well, then, when he says those whom he foreknew, he also predestined, you realize the foreknown ones are the same as a predestined group. Your theology switches. You go, now I see what God is doing. And this is why I get antsy about preachers and teachers who don't do their due diligence in the study of the Word of God. And then they go preach something.
Well,
I've been accused of heresy.
Recently. Go ahead.
No, I'm
well,
not.
When I recently, you know,
oh, there's the break.
About it. All right.
Oh,
Matt,
yeah.
I'm going to jump. I'll talk to you later.
Call me tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, I will.
Call me tomorrow, man. Hey, folks, sorry about that. That was a fast hour. That hour seemed like 14 minutes. At any rate, I hope you enjoyed the show. And maybe you didn't, but maybe. Anyway, we'll be back on here tomorrow by God's grace, and we'll talk to you then. See you, everybody. Have a great evening.